I'm really excited for who we have today. I'm not at all artistic, but I'm very impressed by people who are. And our speaker today is not only a talented artist, and he's not one who just sits in the a gallery or a, what would you call that word? Studio, the word I'm trying to find. Studio, and works on several months for on a painting. He actually goes to ballparks around the world, sits down in the stands, and while the live event is going on, he paints a portrait of what's happening in front of him and finishes it by the end of the game, which is just, to me, is just amazing. So anyway, I want to welcome our special speaker, Andy Brown, the artist.
Okay, we've got the right guy. Good afternoon. Thanks very much for coming. It's nice to see some people in the chairs, which is always a good start. This is me, and this is what I do. Today, what I want to do is just show you a little bit about my work and some of the places I've been, some of the experiences I've had, and hopefully, we won't be falling asleep. It's late in Friday afternoon, but hopefully we stay with it, and hopefully you get something from it. I'll leave a little bit of time at the end for questions, and let's see how we do. So number one, thanks to Sabre. Thanks especially to Kevin for inviting me. I got an email when I was in Mexico about 2 months ago from Kevin asking me to attend, and it was something I couldn't miss. It's one of the great honours of my life to do the work I do, but also to be invited to events like this and talk to people such as yourselves is wow, it's unbelievable. I can't quite believe it. So thank you very much to you all, to Kevin, and to Sabre as a whole. So thanks very much. So here's two pictures I've done. The one on the left, as you can see, I did in maybe 1985, 86. I'm not really sure. I was in North London, Enfield. I knew nothing about baseball, because by the way, I'm not from Chicago. But I had some pictures of baseball players, and I was fascinated by that. I remember the arms of the pictures going round and round and round. So I spent hours drawing these pictures of baseball players, a game that I never knew anything about. And for some reason, it stuck in my head. My mum still has this picture by her bedside, so I always think I didn't choose the baseball life, but maybe the baseball life chose me. On the right, we've got a painting that I did in 2021, I think. I've got 22, maybe it was 22, who knows? And that was at the end of a project in the Dominican Republic where I'd been invited to paint ballparks and the players and the ballpark culture over there. So I think I've come on a little bit, hopefully. Okay, so first of all, I just want to show you a few highlights and just give you a brief outline of what I've done. So I've painted, I reckon, somewhere about 120 different ballparks, at all different sorts of levels, 15 different countries, all around Asia, Latin America, the United States of America, of course, Canada, the UK, Scotland, Italy, Europe, all over the place. I have painted all 30 MLB ballparks. In 2019, I decided to leave my job in South Korea, and I decided to go all around the major leagues painting every single ballpark live. So I went from West Coast to the East Coast, up and down zigzags, all the way across to complete the canvases that you can see behind me here. This is in Doubleday Field in Cooperstown, and that was like the last part of my journey. I've been honoured enough to be the team artist for the Great British Baseball Team. Not the biggest baseball team in the world, not the biggest baseballing nation in the world, but to be asked by the head coach to be the official artist for the European Championships, that was 2021, and for the WBC qualifiers in Germany, that was last year, was an absolute dream come true. I never thought of myself as a massive flag waver, but when I hear the national anthem and I'm there painting and I know I'm representing my country in my own way, it was something that just, knocked my socks off. There's one of the paintings from Italy, the European Championships, inside the dugout. And what I loved about that tour was I was giving that unprecedented access to the players. So the players were around to be drawn. I could draw the workouts, the practices, the whole shebang. I've been the official artist for MLB London for the two times it's been in London. On the left-hand side is 2019, when it was the Red Sox and the Yankees. And on the right was a couple weekends ago, I was there in London Stadium, painting the Cubs and the Cardinals. These two, this is 2019, and this one's the more recent one. I've had a couple of exhibitions of my work, most recently in Mexico, in Tijuana, in the Northwest, and also in New York, thanks to Ralph, who sat just over the corner over there, I believe. I've published a couple of books. I've got them at the front here. You're welcome to have a little bit later on. I've got this one from the Dominican Republic, and this one here from my time with GB. Again, inside the ballparks, with the players, inside the training facilities, and again, it's been like nothing else. I was at the WBC Panama, Rod Drew Stadium, painting the games, and most recently, before MLB London, I was with the Toros of Tijuana in the northwest of Mexico as their artist. That's me with some of the players. These are the kind of drawings I was doing with the team, where I was doing the paintings in the game, but also I was doing the workouts, the BP, all the day-to-day stuff that many baseball fans don't get to see, so it's always a complete privilege and honour to be able to do that. So, this is the big question, I guess. Why and how? It started here. This is Sajik Stadium, Sajik Baseball Stadium in South Korea. I lived there for 10 years. In 2009, I moved. I knew nothing about baseball, and in 2019, I left, and my life was dedicated to baseball. A friend of mine took me to the ballpark, and I realised that in a society such as Korea, which if you've been, the people are quite conservative. They are very, very friendly, very, very warm. But also, they're not always very expressive about how they're feeling. Keeping face is very important. But I found that in a ballpark, you can find out a lot about culture very quickly. You can see the food people like, the way people interact, the society you're living in, the politics, the economics. It's all there on display. So within one ball game, you know a lot more about South Korea, America, Mexico, wherever you might be. Here's a few examples. This is the Estadio Tadeo Vargas in the Dominican Republic, and you can see this is the lead-on finals, just 2022. On the right-hand side here in the corner, you can see the Drummer Boy. They have a big, if you've ever been to the Dominican, they're very, very noisy, very, very loud games where it's non-stop action. It's very, very frenetic. The crowd are cheering, they're on their feet, and they're all led by these drums, which blow your ears to pieces. You see the dance, of course. If you go to a ball game, you see people dancing, typically. This is the dancer, the mascot in Cuba. That was in the Cocodrilos de Matanzas. That's the gentleman there. After the game, I met him. He let me put his hat on, which again, of course, is one of the greatest privileges of my life. Here we have Estadio Chevron in Tijuana. In the bottom right-hand corner, you can see there the food vendor, serving the tacos, serving the carne asada. Again, gives you a great indication of the place you are, the society you're amongst. The economics. On the left-hand side, you can see Seoul. This is Jamsil Stadium, baseball stadium in Seoul. You can see the smog, you can see a little bit to do with the weather, but you can also see the high-rise towers and the great standard of living that most people afforded in a country like South Korea. On the right-hand side, for contrast, you have the Presidente light stands, again in the Dominican Republic, where before the game, young boys and girls will sit on the outfield fence and they'll try to collect BP balls and practice balls in big nets they've attached to, or sacks they've attached to pieces of bamboo. You've got here, this one's Estadio Candido González in Cuba. In the right-hand side again there, you can see a horse and cart, so you can see the situation, you can see a lot about the culture in just by being around, in and around ballparks. You've got the geography, of course, within a ballpark. Here again, we've got Estadio Chevron in Tijuana. You've got these beautiful Cerrado Colorado, in the background there. This was an interesting one from Nicaragua. I was painting the game. This was my first time in Nicaragua. I went to the game and I was painting the sky. I thought, well, it's really cloudy. What's going on? There's this beautiful blue sky. It's very cloudy over in the right field. And then all of a sudden the clouds moved away and I saw a volcano. It's the first and the only painting I've done that's got a volcano in the background. So it was a nice, rare moment. You can see the weather. You can understand the weather. Of course, we've got two domes here. We've got Minute Maid Park and we've got the Gochok Sky Dome again in Seoul. Both of them are domed because of the atmosphere and the weather in summertime. You can see religion. We've got the Pakistani team playing here at the WBC in Panama, and you can see the ladies in their saris in the crowd. You can see the flag, and of course that relates to the religion. We've got the Shinto shrine here in Japan, outside the Koshin. Another one, this was a very much a first. This was back in the Dominican. In the bottom left-hand corner, you might be able to see a green object sticking up. What that was, at about the seventh inning, this is the championship game. This is the game that Seagulls of the Lisay went on to win. At that moment, there was a gentleman walking through the crowd with a cardboard coffin. He was carrying along a life-size cardboard coffin with all the other team's names written on the side. It's quite a sight to see, to say the least. What I like is exactly those moments, though, because this is, again, what makes it so rich. I feel like a ballpark. All these spontaneous things happen, good things, bad things, and things in between. There's never an ordinary day in a baseball stadium. You can see the mundane, you can see the ridiculous, you can see the sublime, you can see the happy, you can see the sad. We've got the politics here. This is in Cuba, where you see the flag for the 20th, the 26th, the Julio, the first revolution. They will be flying, and instead of Delta Airlines, instead of credit cards and telephone companies, you'll have adverts for Comunidad, Patrismo, and that sort of thing. Political ideals, political systems. This incident is still, I imagine, the only ballpark I've been to where there's a picture of a man jumping off a tank on the scoreboard. You've got, again, the same kind of flags here. This is in Nicaragua, again, flying just behind home plate. You've got the Sandinista National Liberation Front's flags. You've also, incidentally, a little funny story about this one. This is the first and only painting so far that's got any pigs in it. About the seventh inning, there was a huge amount of noise, a lot of barking, and a huge pack of dogs came running down the hill, and they were chasing two pigs that momentarily interrupted the game, but the pigs were taken care of, carted off, and we got on with the painting, and they get on with the game. You've got fashion, of course. This is the German in Regensburg. The Armin Wolf Arena in Regensburg. You've got here two people sat in beautiful felt hats, nice and warm, perfect for the climate, perfect for the October evening. You've also got history. This is the Essex Arrows ballpark in Waltham Abbey in England. On the right-hand side, you've got the reason why it's called the Essex Arrows. This is Harold Godwinson, Harold II. He was King of England until 1066, when somebody shot him in an eye with an arrow. And therefore, that's the team's name. In the background there, we've got the Waltham Abbey, which is where he's believed to be buried. So again, you've got this beautiful part of English history right on the doorstep of the national pastime being played in the UK. Of course, I do it for the special moments. You get these amazing moments of celebration, of joy, of ecstasy. This is from the CPBL in Taiwan. At the end of the championship game, all the fans throw ribbons onto the field, and to paint it is something else. You've got all the players in the middle of the ballpark there celebrating, and you get this massive cascade of ribbons all thrown onto the field by thousands and thousands of people. It's quite a spectacle to witness, quite a spectacle to paint. This is another big reason why I do it, and it's just like this here. It's the community of baseball, the fans, the players, the relationships, which I think is what baseball means a lot to me about. It's all about being in a ballpark, the collective sense, the collective identity, but also the shared humanity in it, the shared humanity, rooting for your team. But what I love about baseball is if you're a baseball fan and I'm a baseball fan, I don't particularly like your team, unlike some of the football teams where I'm from, we're not going to start fighting about it, probably. This is MLB London last weekend, or 2 weekends ago. And one of the special things about MLB London was, of course, it's in England and in the UK. We don't have a huge amount of baseball fans, but the baseball fans were there. And in the painting, in the front of the painting, you can see on the left-hand side a guy with a spotty shirt. That was me. You can see me with my easel. We've also got the UK Phillies representatives. We've got the UK Marlins representatives, we've got the UK Cubs representatives, all pictured. So when I'm meeting people in the ballpark, we might have a little conversation, something significant might stick out, and I'll put them into the painting. On the right hand side is Shane, the gentleman who took really good care of me for the whole 2 days, the steward who was just stood there, he was loving it. He just got to stand, watch the painting, and he had quite a nice time. There's also, what's his name now? It's actually gone blank. John Goodwin, is it? John Goodman, the actor. He was singing in the seventh inning stretch. He's there in the middle. So again, what I'm trying to do in the whole ballpark, in the whole experience, is capture it. It's almost like a moving, it's almost like a film, I think. This is the early stuff. This is when I was in Korea. This is the very early stuff I started doing, which was small paintings. I'd do it generally before the game, and then during the game, I'd be watching the game and learning about the game. Like I told you, it was all about, for me, learning about the culture, but also learning about this new game. I didn't understand what a line drive was, what a pop foul was, and I didn't know whether it was going to be a home run or not. It was all the things of learning about the angles, learning about the dimensions, learning about the rules. I always think baseball is the most simple game in the world. It's very easy to explain to somebody in some respects, but as soon as you watch a baseball game, there's all these minute rules and little details that you keep going digging and digging and digging down into, which is, I think, one of the reasons why everyone comes back for more. I started off doing photography and painting, and I was using this. This was one of my first and most beloved cameras. It was a pinhole camera. And what I'd do with it was I'd set it up and open up the shutter, and that'd take about 90 minutes, so about an hour and a half you'd get a photograph of the ballpark from a shoebox or a box made for vitamins. And what I loved about it, so it was long exposures, you'd get the players, you could see the players almost moving, so of course the pitch always goes back to the mound, so you get just about a bit of a bubble of where the pitcher is, you can see the shortstop, you can see the third baseman. So you ended up with these beautiful images. I've got a couple others here from the Oakland Coliseum, Meiji Jinku in Tokyo. So this was typically what I was doing. I was running around Korea, running around different countries with a shoebox and with also my paints. And I'd be sat on the cook corner, painting outside of the stadium. But eventually it got too much. I was doing tintype photography by the end. That was invented in 1851. It was a beautiful kind of photography. It's absolutely fantastic to make a tintype. You get these absolutely gorgeous images of the car parking people, of the inside of the ballparks. But it's also incredibly, incredibly difficult. And this was the inside of my car. I had to make a dark room out of a cardboard box. The chemicals, you had to hide, I was a teacher at the time, so I'd go to the chemistry department, and with the assistant there, I'd be mixing these chemicals. But basically, it was like making a bomb. It was stuff that the nitrogen, you had to be so careful, it was unbelievable. So I decided that rather than risking life and limb, I'd stick to the paintbrushes and the paint. So these are the ones, early ones from Korea. This was about 2017, I started to feel, I was doing this for my own enjoyment, I was doing it for my own pleasure, I was posting on Twitter, if I got one like, I was over the moon, I couldn't believe it, somebody liked it, what an amazing buzz that was. And then one day I did one of the paintings back here, it was this one, the outside of Sajik Stadium in Busan, and the gentleman in the middle, Andy Burns, who used to play for the Lotte Giants, he got in touch with me, he said, hey, we're looking at your work, Andy, we love it, can we get a print or something? I was like, wow, this is incredible. And for me, again, it was a huge breakthrough moment where it was the people that I respected, the people who go through putting their bodies on the line every day for our entertainment, were enjoying what I was doing. The people in the painting were liking what I was doing. So there's me with Andy Burns, with Brooks Raley, who's now with the Mets, and Xavier Scruggs, who obviously works on the TV. At the same time, I was going around Japan. I'd do a little tour of Japan in a couple of weeks on my Easter break, and I'd go and paint the fabulous stadiums over Japan. You can see there the musical instruments change, a lot more horn and brass in Japan, so I found. You had these amazing friendships you'd make. You'd have these amazing moments of shared humanity and slight humour. The gentleman on the right-hand side, that's me and him and his girlfriend. I was painting this ballpark in Yu, which is, I think, south of Hiroshima. It was a farm ballpark right up in the hills. And it started to rain. And the guy was under the umbrella with his girlfriend, and I was painting, and he really enjoyed the painting, and he put the umbrella slowly over my head. And while his girlfriend was getting absolutely drenched. I intervened. I love the fact that he loved the painting, and he was very precious about it. I, of course, was very precious about it. But I thought their relationship was probably a bit more significant. So we sorted that out. And here we are in the Koshien, the land of the rising sun. An absolutely stunning stadium. If you ever get the chance to go to the Koshien, this was in the Senbatsu, the spring tournament, which is a spectacle like nothing else. It's an absolutely beautiful tournament. This was on a Saturday, I believe. It was four games in the day. You had the whole of the school would be playing Popeye the Sailor Man on trombones and tubas in one side, and then the other team would start playing Here Come the Hot Stepper. And it was just, again, you don't see that every day. This was the Nagoya Dome in Nagoya there. Me on a bicycle outside Yokohama and Kosera Dome. By about 2019, I'd done a lot of Asia. I'd done Korea, I'd done Japan, I'd done Taiwan. And again, my reputation was growing a little bit. And I call it a bit, I was 39 at that point, so I guess it was like a very early midlife crisis, and I decided to quit my job and get on the road. I thought it was time to go to America and paint all 30. This is my map of driving around America. I drove a lot of it. I did six stadiums in my spring break, and then when I finished my job, I went over to Seattle and I started painting up there in T-Mobile Park. Some of the most amazing things have ever happened to me in a ballpark. This is one of them. The gentleman on the right-hand side, he came down to me. I was painting. I was just about getting set up. I spoke to a steward, and the steward said, oh, where are you from? We got talking. He said, oh, there's a guy over there from England. These were some school kids. Oh, great, okay. This guy comes down. He starts talking to me. We're talking about the UK. He was up from Liverpool. I'm down from Essex in North London, so it's kind of down south. And he said to me, oh, you sound a bit like me. Where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from down south. And he said, oh, yeah, me too. And he said, oh, well, whereabouts are you from? I said, oh, near London. He said, no way, me too. And he said, oh, I'm from Essex. I said, no way, me too. And I said, I'm from Chelmsford. He said, no way, me too. And it ends up But he's from exactly the same town that I'm from. His parents know my parents. And this was in the, I don't know how many 40,000 people in Seattle. Quite a long way from Essex. I bumped into a guy who knows my parents, that my parents know his parents, which was, we went to the same school. Like, he was a few years above my older brother. So you have, this trip was one of the most, and this is the thing, the experience of doing this work has probably been the most challenging, the most grueling, the most tiring, the most exhausting thing I've ever done, but it's also been the most rewarding. The connections I've made, the people I've met, and experiences like that, they just drive you on. Here's Yankee Stadium, of course. It was CC Sabathia's final game, or his retirement ceremony, so I put him on the scoreboard there at the back to mark the occasion. SunChoice Park, me and Detroit painting it there, and of course, a local one here for all the Cubs fans. While doing it, I was also painting the life on the road, you know. It was a dream come true to be driving around America with the big, you know, the fast food and the big highways. And I just wish I had a Cadillac or a Ferrari or something. I couldn't, the budget wouldn't allow it, but never mind. Next time. So I'd be drawing the McDonald's signs and all the signs and indicators of being in the States, the culture. There's a lot of time I spent like this in a motel's room. I'd be checking into a motel for a night in the middle of nowhere, checking out in the morning, driving on to Pittsburgh or wherever else. And what it does to a man is this. I'm on the left, but I was pretty tired, and I don't know where it was now, but it was exhausting. But again, like I tell you, one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. One of the greatest moments was here at the Field of Dreams, where amazing moment happened. There's Mr. Dan Wallop down here at the front. I'm sat out the front of the house, and I'm painting the Field of Dreams. I expected just to be there for a couple of hours. I thought, oh yeah, I'll be all right, maybe take some photos, maybe do a little painting. I was on my way up to Minneapolis. And I fell in love with the place. I mean, as you do, if you go to the Field of Dreams, it really is magical. There's something incredibly special about that part of the world. So I'm doing this painting, and there's everyone playing catch down on the field, and it was just unreal. This gentleman comes up to me. Excuse me, are you Andy Brown? I thought, what? I thought I'd dropped my wallet in the car park or something. I thought, hang on, this can't be right. I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. And of course he said, I'll follow you on Twitter, I've wanted to meet you, or, you know, it's so great to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is, you know, something else, extraordinary. But that's the Field of Dreams, and that's the magic of baseball, that's what can happen. Here's my painting of Dyersville. I went two different times. I went on my way up to Minneapolis, I fell in love with it so much, I decided on the way down to paint it again. And again, actually, you know what, I did have a game. I had a throw, I had a catch. I didn't get my first hit. I hit it, and it was a really good hit, but I didn't realise that everybody else was really playing. So I was kind of jogging to first base, and all of a sudden I thought, oh no, I've got to speed up a bit here, because I wasn't going to get out. I was out, but it was close, you know, get it on replay. PNC. Of course, I want to paint the heroes of the game, so this is Babe Ruth's birthplace in Baltimore. This was towards the end of my journey, but again, the length and breadth of the states, going from south to north, the culture, the food, and the experience that I had along the way were nothing short of incredible. This was in Fenway, the last ballpark that I was at. I had a fabulous time. A friend of a friend got in touch with me and said, hey, you speak to this guy, he's going to call you at midday, get down to the ballpark. Within 10 minutes of meeting him, the head groundskeeper there, I was on the mound, I was in the batter's box, I was in at home plate, I was everywhere. He took me into the green monster, he said, here's a pen, write your name on the wall. And I was like, wow, this is something else. So I had all these amazing, amazing, amazing moments. This was probably the most special moment of the lot.
Oh dear.
Excuse me.
Whew. So,
whoa.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm a Mets fan, so I was gutted.
Okay,
stiff upper lip and all that, we'll carry on. So this was the 30th of September, 2019. I've been all over the place. I'd spent about a year planning the trip. I'd given up everything to do it. And I finally got to Hall of Fame. And it was like nothing else. It was a rainy night in Cooperstown. And I remember just going up, it was getting closed down for the evening. I remember going to the front door and just touching it. I just had to touch it, so I'm not gonna make it. And it was, actually, that was special. Whew. I still had one more painting to do, of course, Doubleday Field, so I got myself down there the next day. The night before I went out and got incredibly drunk, because I was so tired, I thought I'd got absolutely pissed. So with a sore head and the mist all around me, I decided to do this painting, Cooperstown. Doubleday Field. I had a meeting at the Baseball Hall of Fame, so this is the work. You can see it laid out in one of the offices there. So it was all 30 ballparks, but I was doing maybe two games at a ballpark, so maybe I'd do two or three paintings, little sketches. I had about three or four sketchbooks. I had about, I don't know, I had a load of Polaroid photos. So I had this huge expanse of work, and that was from the one trip. The crazy thing was that every night I'd have to check it all into the hotel, check it out of the hotel, put it into the car. I ended up with a little sausage of canvas, ended up with this big, massive sausage. Let's see if this will work. This was the last thing I did in Cooperstown, which let's see if it'll play. It's not going to play. We'll come back to it. Let's ignore them. You'll be able to see this somewhere else. That's the state of my shorts by the end. You can tell I'm right-handed tonight. Don't have an apron. Again, budget doesn't stretch to aprons. After the States, I was in Mexico for a while, painting winter ball over there, and then I made my way over to Cuba for the finals there. This was Plaza de Revolution. This is a small team, like a municipal team that played there. I was invited over. I was walking down the street. I met a few people. They waved me over. I told them what I did, and I started painting. Che Guevara is just around the corner looking down. You've got the Jose Marti Memorial statue right in front of you there. Again, absolutely incredible. Completely different feel to the ball fields, a completely different level of ball playing. But the passion, the enthusiasm, but also sadly the facilities that the players are using are not as good as, well, not very good as you'd expect. The ballparks in Cuba were something else. This is getting into the ballpark, and you're rarely as close to somebody as you are when you're trying to get into a ballpark in Cuba. I feel like the only time you're likely to be like this is if you're romantically involved. But here I've just got in, I've made it safely in, I was on my way to paint the game. The ballparks are fantastic. They're so simple, they're so stripped back. It's a very, very simple matter of watching a ball game over there, but you get into the game very early. One game I was in 6 hours early, so I could actually get a seat. That was the crush to get into the game. Everyone was so G'd up for the game. It's what everybody lives for over there. You also have the journeys, of course. Part of all my thing is the love of travel and the love of the journey. This was a train. I was trying to get up for the finals. I think it was game four of the finals. The train broke down. We'd got 35 miles in about 3 hours. It was staggering its way along the track. And we broke down. We were at the side of the rails for about 2 hours. So I got out the canvas, got out the easel, and started doing a painting of everyone smoking cigarettes outside the train on this bit of track there in Cuba. That was a 16-hour journey. It was supposed to be 8. Meeting old ball players. I had a tip off to go and meet some guys, friends of a friend. Go and meet these guys. So I met these old guys who played back in the day in Cuba on the taxi leaving. Okay, British baseball. Over COVID, I was back in, you know, the lockdown. I was back in England, fortunately. And I'd never painted English baseball except for the MLB games. And I thought, well, I've got to find out what this is about. So I started going around the ballparks there. This is the George W. Chalmers ballpark in Aberdeen, where the Aberdeen Oilers play. And again, I love how the names are significant. The Aberdeen Oilers, there's a huge oil companies are up there, obviously, in the North Sea. And George W. Chalmers, he was the first European to pitch in the World Series. I think it was 1916, maybe. I think 16, is that right? Am I right there? Anyway. George W. Chalmers. This is the 4th of July. This was my birthday, and this is the beautiful Scottish summertime. It was completely foggy. It was completely misty. To see if the game could go ahead, they sent somebody out into the mist, and they knocked the ball up, and it just disappeared into the mist, and the guy came back with the ball, and it was like, okay, game on. Let's play. As I tell you, a lot of this is to do with the memories. I've got my mum down in the corner behind home plate there, just with a little red heart on the back of the chair. It was her second baseball game. She came and saw one in Korea with me. But she was there and she was so excited. She's Scottish, so she was absolutely over the moon to be at a ballpark and see some baseball in her homeland. And she was there scribbling things on a piece of paper, making notes. But I loved it. I was up on the hill looking down through the thistle. It looked like she was a pro scout. I thought she was going to get out a radar gun and all this. I thought these guys found out what's going on at all. They must be in their days of mate. We've got Worcester here. We've got Liverpool with Liverpool Prison in the background. And then another one. Let's have a look here. Oh, we've got a bit of time. So. This is the it's a bit hard to say, maybe one of the most significant projects that I've covered. This is the book that I showed you at the front here. It was 3 months in the Dominican Republic, painting all levels of baseball there. I'd never been to the Dominican. I didn't know much about baseball in the Dominican. I knew people liked baseball, loved baseball, but I didn't realise that they loved baseball. I didn't realise how important it was. It's not just a fact of, well, I like baseball. It's, well, the whole community, my whole family, my whole life depends on baseball. So I was there, and again, I was privileged, honoured really, to be behind the easel in charge of trying to capture a project like this. This is some of the work in about 3 months I was there. I did about 150 pieces, watercolours, oils, acrylics, and again, at all levels. A little indicator of the Dominican, as I say, it can get pretty noisy, it can get pretty raucous, and they have these amazing ceremonies. There's a, you know, it's very much a Catholic country, but there is an element of voodoo over there. So you get these very incredible ceremonies at the end of the game where they'll put a man in an eagle suit, because they hate the eagles, will be put into a coffin, and they'll carry him through the stadium while all the fans go crazy jumping around, and we've got our high priest in the middle there, the shaman, with the microphone, geeing everybody up. The commentary booth is not like a commentary booth I've ever stood in before. This is Franklin Mirabal, who's almost operatic in his presentation. He is absolutely 110% over the top on every single pitch. It's the most exhausting thing to watch. It's the most amazing thing to watch. And I try to keep him still for just for a couple of seconds, just so I can get him in this painting. In Dominican, I was invited into the dugout. That was game two of the finals, and again, there was Marcel Ozuna smashing his bat up next to me. There were people throwing water all over the place. There was people jumping up and high-fiving. And I was just hiding behind the easel. That was the painting from the game. There was the other side of it. Away from the lead on was the more simple side of it. The fatia, where they play with a water top, bottle top, and a stick, a broom handle. Painting players like that. Painting the next generation. At the Little Leagues, all hoping to make it to the next stage, like Mr. Jeremy Pena here. We've got these kids here, I'll forever be affected by them. They were the ballpark boys, I was calling them. Oh boy. So, they'd be trying to catch fly balls, trying to catch a ball to sell onto a tourist, to use themselves, and at the end of the game, they'd be going through pizza boxes, trying to find food, trying to find something to take home with them. And again, I met these boys when, you know, the boy on the right there, Yelly, he wrote his name on the bottom right hand for me. I met him at a ballpark, a dusty ballpark by the sea one day. He was looking at a painting I was doing, he liked it. I said, okay, let's do your portrait. And he looked over the glove, he stared at me for about 20 minutes, and I made this portrait of him. And the last thing I saw was him walking off to practice. It was about 1 p.m, probably should have been at school, but he was there in his Crocs and his vest, ready to play. Another amazing moment, being invited to this gentleman's house, a coach who coaches young boys and takes and tries to get them through to the next level. He very, very simple dwellings, very simple households. He invited me over to make his portrait of him and his cousin or his nephews. And again, amazing to witness, to be in somebody's house like that where it's full of generosity, they'll give you anything you need. And to make his portrait was something else. The focus and the determination, this boy on the right, this is Michael, his son. He had his scarf up over his face and he just peered over the top of it while I'm making his portrait, the most intense portrait I've ever made. In the right hand, you can see in his right hand, you can see a ball, and he was just moving the ball around, and you see him just getting to know the ball, just working the ball, and it wasn't an intimidating thing, it was just for me, it was just about his focus. He knew he was going to be in this book, he knew this was his chance, he knew that baseball was his life, and he was serious about it, there was no messing around. After we did this, they took us out to a softball game where everyone's drinking rum and dancing merengue. It was a very different atmosphere. You have moments like this. This is painting... They're painting Rufel El Leon, the mascot. It was suggested to me that maybe... You know, it's often suggested to me, paint me like one of your French girls. Apparently it's in a film. So... A film about a boat, apparently, of all things. So we got Rufo on the couch. He lay back. We put on some nice, soft, romantic music, and I think it's going through. That's as far as it went. We got Mr. Robinson Cano there on the left, and we got Juan Marichal when the book was released. This gentleman came up to me. He'd been looking at the artwork, and as soon as he got close, he smiled at me. I thought, oh my goodness, I recognise him. And he went, Andy, I love your work. And I was like, wow. Like I was like, well, I love you. His daughter introduced him. Ah, by the way, this is my father, Juan Marichal. I thought, yeah, I know who Juan Marichal is. He is everywhere, on every stadium, outside the ballpark, there's statues of him. Everybody adores the man. So having him there to sign a book for him was like nothing else. While doing the project, I got an opportunity to make David Ortiz. One of the last things I did was paint David, and again, very, very special, amazing moment. He was pleased with the outcome. It worked out all right. He's a big guy, so you want to make sure you're pleased with it. So, I guess we're near the end here. This is what it's all about, the connections, the people. You can see here the magicians in the middle. While I was painting that Candido Gonzalez picture, two little boys come up to me, these amazing magicians in Cuba. They come up and they had some cars before you knew it. They had cars coming out of their mouths, out of their ears, and all sorts. We've got people in the Dominican, we've got people in Cuba, we've got people all over the place there. And that, for me, is what baseball's all about. That's what the ballparks are all about. You know, it is the game. The game is, of course, why we go, but there's actually something greater. There's actually something more special. It's the connection to the team, the connection to the players, but also the connection to each other. And I feel like no matter where I go in the world, that's the one thing that's constant. It's always about that connection. I'm hoping my work does this. I'm hoping it grows the game, hopefully attracts new audiences, and I'm hoping it's providing a different angle on baseball. That's what one of my aims is, to show people the beauty of baseball. You know, my dad was talking to me the other day, and he said, well, the great thing about art is that you show something very familiar, but in a completely new way. You show it a different light that people take for granted. And I think that's one of the things I love about it, one of the things I love about playing baseball. I've got my website here, and I've got a few other ways you can follow me and support me. I've got some baseball cards, my business cards are at the back on the table over there, along with a few postcards. I've got a few up the front here as well. So please, if you can follow along, retweet my work, support me in any way, check out my website. I'm always open to commissions, new projects and all sorts. But we've not done bad there, actually. That's a pretty good time. So we've got a little bit of time left. I've got millions of more slides, so I'm sure, well, I'm hoping you might have some questions to fill the time. But let's see. But anyway, thank you very much. It's been an honor. That's a great question. It's a question I'm almost always ready for, but I never know the answer for. The question was, which is my favourite? Everyone always asks, what's the favourite and what's the best one? I love the Koshin in Japan. Without a doubt, that's right up there. They're all great. This, again, the most amazing thing about baseball is this. No ballpark's the same. You can go anywhere in the world, the ballpark's different. And there'll be something special about it. It may not be the architecture, it may not be the food, it may not be, you just don't know what it's going to be. But there's always something special. So for me, it doesn't matter the size. If it's big, major league, little league, independent league, whatever it is, all, to me, they're all special. One that I do think is very, very impressive is this one, which is the Alfredo Harpalu in Mexico City. They just had the Mexico series there. And for me, this is what a good ballpark is, or this is something really interesting in the ballpark for me. In that it's a very cutting edge and modern design, but also they're looking back into the past. And I feel like sometimes with baseball there's this difficult tension between looking into the past and nostalgia and the good old days, where sometimes I feel like, well, if we're doing that, then we're living in the past, which apparently isn't so good. But also I feel like the past maybe wasn't always so good in all ways. So I feel like, again, for me, the Harpalu here in Mexico City really does it right in the fact they're really looking forward. But they've also got reverence for their own culture. They've got the pyramids out on the outside here where the stairwells are. So I think that's a really nice balance between the two, where they're doing both things. They're really embracing the culture.
Yeah.
Difficult. You know, it depends on so many things. Sometimes it would be the way sometimes the team would have a nice space organised for me, and it would be a great welcome from the team. Sometimes it might be a fan. Sometimes it might be a steward. There were many different reasons for which one would be my favourite. I can't even tell you. There were everyone's unique. It really is, unfortunately. I can't give you a better answer than that. You know, I love being at Fenway for the fact that, you know, I had this amazing treatment. I was able to go in the Green Monster. I was able to stay on the mound. It was a perfect end to the trip. But it was, it's very difficult to say which one's my favourite. I think, they're all special. They've all got their own unique thing. And I think that's the real thing that I think baseball should realise. Maybe baseball does. But I feel like the more you can push the unique, the more you can push the local culture, the more the fans and the more the local history and societies and the vision is involved with a ballpark, I think the better. I think that's what makes it special. Yeah.
Did you come away with a favourite baseball food that you had to eat on?
Oh my goodness.
Well, most unique food.
Again, that depends. You know, in I was just in Mexico just 2 months ago with the Toros, and they have the best carne asada. There was a barbecue there. And these gentlemen were making this barbecue, carne asada and tacos. Absolutely fantastic, that was great. You can't beat the Philly's cheesesteak sandwich. Absolutely fantastic. But I mean, let's face it, to be honest, any ballpark's really pretty good. I mean, you know, after you've been painting for 8 or 9 innings, you're ready for a beer and ready for something to eat, and it doesn't matter what you get. So, it all. Dan.
Where are you going to be tonight at Comiskey Park?
Oh.
Part of the joy is watching you.
Right, I'm going to be painting tonight at Comiskey or Guaranteed Rate Field or whatever we want to call it. So I don't know where I'm going to be honest with you, but I will be there. I've got my easel. I just went down to Blix earlier today and bought an easel and got a canvas. So I'm all set, I'm all ready. I can't wait. There's one other thing that actually Dan's just reminded me. I've been just as a little, I can't sit very still. So what I've been doing during the conference is while you guys have been sitting still, is I've been painting, you know, the people on the stage as made it. This was you in the social chat, right? Yeah, right. There's an Aussie from yesterday. What a character, eh? So, you know, again, for me, it's I don't know what it all means, but watching other people enjoy themselves, watching other people, how people interact, how people behave, the things that bring us all together, the baseball shirts here, the hats, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, so two questions. The first one is, I've heard it said by credible sources that limitations and constraints are conducive the artistic process.
Right.
Painting a stadium during a game, that's kind of the ultimate constraint. So the first question is, what have you learned about that? How has that affected things?
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, do you have any ambitions or with the art world beyond baseball, and how has the art establishment, so to speak, reacted to your work?
Okay, let's go to the first one. So the first one, limitation and constraints. Of course, you have 9 innings to get it done. It pushes you, but I like that. I like the speed of it. The speed of baseball is a great pace to be painting. The atmosphere of baseball is a great atmosphere to be painting. But I do have to, you have to get to work. But I feel like if a true artist, their work reflects them somehow in whatever way. And I'm a rapid kind of expressive kind of person. And I can't help but be like that. So it's hard for me. I mean, I can paint photorealistically, I've done that. But it's just not me, it's not in my nature, it's not really in my blood. So I feel like, you know, the more true you can be to yourself, the more you can just enjoy it and express yourself and embrace yourself almost, the better the work becomes. So I feel like the 9 innings and making it happen in that time, and it's all the noise. People say they can't concentrate. Of course I can't concentrate. There's all these people jumping around, there's drums, there's all the rest of it. But that's part of it. It's part of the fun, it's part of the challenge. So that was one. What was the second question, sorry?
About the art
establishment. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, again, one of the things I love about my work is that when I'm long gone, people will be able to see it still, hopefully, and hopefully people can still enjoy it. And I love the fact that it's, you know, I love looking back at the old photographs of baseball, the old artwork of baseball, and seeing what it was like then. So to me, there's a value there, there's an importance there. And yeah, I mean, I just hope people enjoy it. I always think one thing that maybe was interesting with Dominican is I did those 150 pieces, and I remember turning up at the apartment, there was all canvases and paints and boards, and I was like, oh my God, what have I got myself into here? And about 3 months later, I sat on my couch and I looked around, there was 150 paints behind me, baseball and David Ortiz and little kids in the street and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, wow, when did that happen? Like, where did that come from? And I feel exactly that, like that I want to get myself into the work, like I am in it. My hand moves, my brain must say to my hand, do this, and I do that, and then an image appears. I have the best view in the house, I have the best seat, but I never really know what I'm doing, it's just, I'm just watching it, and it's again, kind of special, I like it. Hey.
I have a question about one of your slides. I wonder if you could go back to that very provocative slide when you were painting the mascot on the couch.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
So, I don't know that you answered this, what's going on the right side?
I don't know, I haven't seen the film.
Oh,
it's Titanic, yeah. It's Titanic, sorry. It's about a boat. I don't know, I haven't seen it. No, this was the... We'll go to Blockbusters later and get the film. I've seen it, so we'll watch it. We'll get it tonight. Okay, well... Okay, we'll watch it later. We'll sort it out. Hey, Heavy.
I don't know how to follow that. I was just thinking, though, in terms of, like, the constraints, the pitch clock probably wasn't good news for you.
It does change things. Yeah, it was one of those that it kicks it on a bit more, but again, I like it. It's all right. You've got to work with what you've got. I just feel like... You know, I taught art for 15 years, and you'd have kids complaining about, oh, I can't do this and can't do that and whatever. I just say, get on with it. It's all you can do. You just got to get on with it. You've got no choice. If you want to pass your exam, you've got to get on with it. And of course, I'd show them how to do it, but get on with it. And that's basically it. When I get to the ballpark, I'm getting on with it. I need to just get it done. Got to make it sure it's okay. You know, it's got to be right. So it's down to it.
Yeah. And then mainly, I just wanted to state the obvious, which is I just think the way that you find so much beauty and find what's unique about every ballpark and bring in the culture and everything like that. I think you're just the best ambassador of ballparks worldwide that we could have. So
thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
So you told us what inspires you when you're at the ballpark and doing everything you do, but baseball inspires artists in ways that no other sport does.
Absolutely.
Why? Why do you think?
Ooh. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That really is a thing, writers, poets. I think it's to do with those moments of reflection. I think it's to do with the speed and the tempo, and that's going back to Get Heavy Jane talking about the pitch clock there. I feel like it's those moments where nothing's happening, and you can talk to the person next to you when you see something special, and you might have a really amazing conversation with somebody that you never ever met, you never even knew. You might see an interesting situation happening down in front of you. I feel like it's the life. I feel like there's so much life, the music, the food, the love, the romance, everything. I feel like that's the, I don't know, but I think it's to do with the pace, and I feel like the richness of the game is part of that. Cheers. Hey, Michael.
Hey,
Eddie.
This is unbelievable.
Thank you.
Two questions for you. So first, you know, you talk about inspiration. Who are some of the artists that inspired you, your work, your style, and then also from what you showed us, your style has changed a little bit over the years.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, conscious decision? Is that depending on where you are? I would just love to know your thoughts and your progression.
In terms of style and progression, well, style, I mean, I love Van Gogh. I thought Van Gogh is, I think, is more known of over here. The earlier painting there, where it's me outside the ballpark walking, that's actually kind of a copy of transcription of a Van Gogh painting, but I've just added my easel and my paints into it. So Van Gogh is a massive inspiration. Matisse, late 19th century, early 20th century, the Impressionists really. I always think I'm kind of an impressionistic expressionist. And I feel like, you know, Van Gogh for me is the perfect artist for me, that guy, like, put it all into his work. And I think that's the way to live your life, but do it all, don't bother. And I feel like he was one of those guys, so that's what I want to be.
Thanks.
Cheers.
I think you probably have earned a pretty unique place as an observer of baseball space.
Oh, yeah.
And ballparks. At this point, you've been in ballparks all around the world, and you've spent time literally just observing. So let's say there's an expansion team, and they ask you to create the ballpark. What one, two, or three elements are essential to making a ballpark a ballpark?
Yeah, well, it's the culture. I feel like you've got to understand the local place. You've got to understand what makes this society, what makes this place important. You do have to look past at the history, where have we come from to be here, but I think also there's very important things, especially here in this country right now. I feel like, you know, you could drive forward to the future. Okay, what message do we want to give to our children? What message do we want to give to our families? You know, I feel like there's so many great ideas and so many great people in this country, but I feel like the ballpark is a great way to get messages across, and I feel like that for me is the thing where I feel like it's all about the where we're going, but also the culture, like what is the important essential ingredient. So I think it's that, which I guess is not simple, but I feel like that's where the planning really comes into importance. You've got to make sure you source the right materials. You've got to make sure that what's important here may not be important 200 miles down the road, and certainly might be important in another country. So you've got to make sure, okay, what's going to turn our audience on?
Thank you.
I'll bring some next time.
Thanks for being here. I think your perspective is so interesting, the fact that you've experienced the atmospheres in all these settings all around the world. And I think as Americans, you know, we grow up with the game. You know, as you're 3 years old, 4 years old, you're already starting to be, you know, that it's ingrained in you. And you came to baseball so late in life, so your perspective is different, and you're not from America.
Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest difference between the American ballpark experience as opposed to the experiences in other countries where, like, in America, it seems like the game is a distraction from the ticket sale.
Yeah.
They want you to care about the sausage races and, all the garbage that happens on the scoreboard in between innings.
Yeah.
Is that same importance put on the game and all the exterior things about the game in other countries? Or just give me some...
I feel like in... But again, maybe it's down to resources and economics and so on and so forth. In Cuba and the Dominican, for example, every pitch is watched. But it's the same probably in Korea and Japan, where like every player will have a walk-up song that the crowd will be chanting at the at-bat until he finishes at-bat. They'll all be chanting and cheering him on for that inning. I feel like you're right. At times I feel like being in the States can be a bit more like, you know, going for a shopping mall and going, you know, okay, there's a food court and there's this and there's a game on in the background. But I feel like that's where the MLB maybe, and I feel like it's working to a certain extent, is the rule changes, trying to make the pace of play better, trying to make, you know, get back to the running game, small ball. I feel like those sorts of things, that's what people need to get back. But I think that's also what the MLB need to look at, is the engagement with fans and making things more open, making things more possible. You know, I think they are going a bit further with that nowadays, but I feel like there's still quite a lot of barriers to some simple things that I feel like would really kick the game on more and, you know, get back to superstars, really promoting the players and really promoting the heroes of the day a bit more. I feel like there's certain things like that.
Hey. Your work is inspiring, but I just had an idea of sitting with you. I'm a vice president of an arts center back where I live.
Right.
I work at an art presenter program for kids, and this last year I worked with a bilingual class. Most of the kids are from Mexico.
Right.
And this next year, I'm going to take some of your ideas. I'm going to go back.
Go for it.
Those kids love baseball.
Yeah.
Well, they love soccer, too.
Right.
But to take this back and to show them some of your work and to see if we can do something with having to watch a ball game and having to do something you do, because when I look at this, I was recently at a Van Gogh exhibit, I started thinking about it, oh my God, that's what's so inspiring. And I think your work will be really inspiring to children. I can, because so many of them are like, well, I can do this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that to me is, you know, as a teacher, 15 years, I still feel like I miss teaching to a certain extent. But I love, you know, in the Dominican, there'd be kids all around me watching me paint. They'd be teaching me Spanish, I'd be teaching them English, I'd be showing how to paint a tree, how to paint a first baseman, blah, 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 blah. And it was, you know, again, these amazing moments where I feel like you can still give, but I can still be doing my work, and they're giving me things, and I feel like that's, again, it's a very privileged way to be living my life, and I'm very thankful for it, so thank you for that. Give us a call, Hey.
You're very gifted, and you've been able to experience baseball all over the world, in Europe, Asia, Latin America, Cuba, the Dominican. Have you been to Panama?
Yeah, I was in Panama for the WBC qualifiers. I was at Rod Cruz Stadium.
It
was good. It was one of those where I'd seen the ballpark. When I was teaching, I remember seeing the ballpark, Rod Cruz Stadium. I was like, oh, that looks cool. I want to go there one day. And then, you know, I remember walking out onto the field before the tournament started, and I was like, I remember that moment with a friend, hey, look at this ballpark. Isn't it cool?
So where have you not been?
Oh, many places. You know, I've only been 15. I've got a lot more to get to. You know, I want to get to Africa and do some painting down there. I want to get to Argentina. I want to get to Chile. Anywhere they play baseball, I want to go. I want to see
so
it.
So for the most part, though, it's about experiencing the here and now.
Yeah.
Wherever it is that you go, and you have places yet to go.
Yeah.
Can you see beyond?
In what? Sorry, how do you mean? You mean
can you imagine seeing a talent that is yet to emerge?
From myself or other people, sorry?
In can you see into the future?
Ooh. Okay. I don't know if I can see into it, but I do think amazing things happen. Magic things happen.
I'd like to commission you to paint somebody here at the conference that does see into the future.
Okay.
I think that's
the
best way to basically express in the here and now.
Yeah.
You may not be able to see it in the future, but there are those that can.
Right. Well, you know, okay, funny quick story maybe. Before I went to one of my last trips, I was in England last year, and I was talking to my mum, and I was like, well, I think I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go here. And I drew a map, and I was like, okay, I want to go here, then maybe I'll go here, maybe I'll go there, maybe I'll go there. I did all the journeys, but it was so unknown at the time. I was like, well, over there in Mexico, they've got this, then in Panama, they've got this, and maybe I can get there, and maybe that will work out, and it ended up all happening. But again, I feel like when you're out there, when you're doing it, when you're in the moment, you know, it works out.
This is all set up. Okay, I mean, the reason that I'm plugging my meeting tomorrow for the Scouts Committee, and that's what Scouts do.
Right.
Scouts can't see into
absolutely.
The
see talent.
Can you imagine looking at a teenage boy
right.
and seeing Fernando Tatis?
Right, yeah. I understand what you mean now, yeah, okay, yeah.
Gentleman that will be addressing the Scouts Committee tomorrow is the one that did just that.
Wow, okay.
Saw a 13-year-old kid
and
said, I can see what he's about, he's capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'll be there.
You should be there and
I'll be there. I'm going to be there, I think. Right, are we...
Maybe last question, I don't know. What would Van Gogh or Matisse paint if they were at the ballpark? Where would they sit?
Oh boy. Wow, I think Matisse would be doing all the nice dances, and it'd be nice flowing and beautiful. Van Gogh would probably be drunk, wouldn't he? Van Gogh. I mean, I picture that, I think about it. Like I do, you know, I'm I love these guys. This is the But you know, I almost tried it, but you can't, like, you know, it's, you've got to let him do his thing, and I mean, I don't know the answer. I wish I did. If I did, I'd probably try and do it, but I don't. I'm sorry. Anyway, look, I think we're done, but thank you so much.
Carl's
in the front here to that, but thank you. Appreciate it.
The meeting tomorrow.